I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday. Farrell's stolen out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, the bad taste, broken day, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around it, but bad attitude, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves hanging out in the Magic City studios while she's snapping off shots of sour dub dog sativa. In New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, breaking the traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, you do. But I'm a friend that come around, flat to party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs up, down, what a mess, this town's a tanner, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, you do be shaking. Hey, what's kicking? I'm Farrell with Carver High. Toll free, the number 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. I just saw something really funny, Carver High. This is a perfect epitome of the NFL draft. So the Eagles made their selection. I have to do this. So I'm sitting here watching the draft just for a minute, and the guy goes up to do the draft. It was some former player. I forget who it was. I don't know if you were watching Carver High. But he goes up to announce the draft pick, and all the Eagles fans are there, you know, with their, you know, the ESPN has their cameras on the, like, cheering section for every team. And I made fun of this today on Coast to Coast and yesterday. They got biggest losers they can find, right? Like, I mean, just utter losers. I mean, they're the worst. Fat, disgusting, repulsive losers, and they're like kids and their wife and their uncle and cousin. It's like a scene from a bad movie. Am I wrong? Am I even wrong?
No, it really is amazing. I don't know where they found some of the people that they had out in the crowd last night. It's ridiculous.
So they go over to the section where the Eagles fans are, and they're all painted and their faces are painted and they got hard hats on. They got baseball bats, and they're gonna kill somebody. And they announce the draft pick of Milton Williams from Louisiana Tech. And they went crazy.
Who?
And not one of them has ever heard of Milton Williams before in their effing lives, nor will they ever hear of Milton Williams in their effing lives, because Milton Williams, he'll play for the Eagles, and they still won't know who he is. They would have cheered. They would have cheered the pick and gotten fired up for the pick if it was a newborn baby. That's how stupid it is. Like, these fans, like, and then right after that, the Washington football team drafted Benjamin St. Juice, and their fans went crazy. Like, Benjamin St. Juice.
They have no idea who that is. Nobody knows who that is. You cannot possibly cheer somebody drafting a guy. I mean, come on, please.
Listen, I'm going to just be honest. I'm going to tell it like it is. Top of the third round, Kellen Mond goes to the Vikings. I've heard of him.
Okay.
We welcome in our radio affiliates tonight, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana, do you wanna? And Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline Radio Network, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell and Events on a pain-free Friday. Second round. Can we get through this? All right, so bottom of the second round, Kyle Trask went to the Buccaneers. I've heard of him. Now let's just go. I've actually heard of Nick Bolton from Missouri. Went to the Chiefs. Pat Freiermuth is the tight end for Penn State. Went to the Steelers. Rondale Moore, Purdue, went to Arizona. Aaron Banks, Notre Dame, went to San Francisco. Asante Samuel Jr., Florida State, went to the Chargers. Kelvin Joseph, the corner from Kentucky, went to the Cowboys. Tevin Jenkins, the tackle from Oklahoma State, went to the Bears. Christian Barmore, the tackle from Alabama, went to the Patriots. And the receiver, Elijah Moore, wide receiver from Ole Miss, went to the Jets. And that's the only players I've ever heard of. I've never heard of them. I mean, let's just get real here tonight. You know, everybody's a liar. Everyone's a thief. They all act like they've heard of all these players. Everybody doing radio, TV, podcasts, blogs. Do they do blogs anymore? Articles, writers, everyone. It's just unbelievable. I even heard this guy, Bleacher uses this guy, Aqib Talib. Remember the former player? He literally acts like he's had, he's been married to every player his whole life. He talks like he knows them like they live next door to him. And, like, he's lying through his teeth. Carver High, you can't even tell me you've heard of 10 of them. 10 of them. And they treat it like we're supposed to know them all. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. You wonder why I hate it. The first night is all that matters. Even though the franchises are built through the second and third, fourth through seventh rounds. I don't deny that the draft builds teams. I don't deny that it's important. I don't deny that it's crucial. I do say the fans have no idea what they're cheering for. They're all a bunch of drunken idiots. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High. By the way, did I not tell you today on Coast to Coast, stay away from the Blazers and Nets game? Did I not warn the public? Don't go near it.
Stay away from it. No good.
They got whacked. The Nets just got whacked.
They didn't care. Well, listen, the Nets, they took a vacation night. That's took pretty much what off. It comes down to. They did not have any interest in playing the game. Kyrie didn't play either, right? So no Kyrie.
Kyrie played. Kyrie played. He had a good game. He had like between 26 and 30. The last time when I turned it off, when it was bend over time, I turned it off and he had 26 at that point. So I'm assuming he probably had a couple more buckets. There was like 6 minutes left in the game and he had the ball in his hands every time down. So I figure he probably scored 28 or 30. All I know is I couldn't even watch that. And then watching that draft is insufferable. I have to tell you that, like, tomorrow's even worse. Like, tomorrow, like, that 4 through 7, you couldn't pay me to watch it. I mean, I'm just being honest. Like, you can't even argue with me that what I described earlier, these fans cheering for people they've never heard of, they're just like, this is the greatest selection ever. We're set for life. We just drafted a kid. Louisiana Tech, where is that? In Kansas? They don't even know where the school is. It's in Louisiana. It's right next to Abraham Lincoln's grave. Who's buried in Abraham Lincoln's grave? Carver High. You know what I mean? So it's so bad. You can't deny it. Like, I read off 10 players I'd heard of. 10. But all these guys, it's so funny. Turn on ESPN, and every guy, you'd think they were lovers. They talk about them like they know them, like they live next door. Like they, you know, some guy at Louisiana Tech. I heard the guy tonight. I heard him say it. I actually heard the analyst say, you know, every single Louisiana Tech game I watched this year, I saw this guy's quickness, explosiveness. He's a ball hawk. He tackles everything. He tackles the T guy. He tackles the ball boy, the T guy, the water guy, the cheerleaders, the parents, the dog, the cat. He tackles everything he sees. The milkman, greatest player ever. His footwork is phenomenal. His ceiling is absolutely sky high.
But
every guy, they draft.
That's the problem. But that's what the NFL draft has become now. They've given you more options to watch this thing. You know, now it's on NFL Network. It's on ESPN. It's on, they have on ABC. They have the College Game Day crew doing it there. You know, you can listen to it on the radio. I mean, we're doing great coverage on Sports Grid, but we did it for more, you know, obviously the live betting angle of it. But like these guys who have been at this for a long time as the draftniks, the Kuipers, the McShays, the Daniel Jeremiahs, all these guys, there's not a bad player anymore. Every player that gets taken from round one
gets
all
love.
The way through round seven, when they call their name, this guy's got upside, or this is a great pick.
Exactly what this they need.
Like just once in a while, can we just get somebody?
He's plug and play.
Or they give you, you know, he's raw. He's a raw talent. If they coach him up, he's going to be a monster in the league. He's raw talent, but if they coach him up, he's going to be a monster.
Desmond Howard today was on ESPN before we went on Coast to Coast at like 3 o'clock, and they were interviewing him on that day as full of Herb Street and everyone else. And he said, I think the guy Reese Davis asked him, have you ever like seen a guy that had an edge like at practice? Cause he was, you know, a free agent. He wasn't drafted. And he said, oh, of course. He said, there's all kinds of guys like that I remember. He said, you know, I was talking to guys today about what it, you know, means to be drafted and how special it is. And, you know, I was talking to, you know, and he went down the list of guys like, you know, whatever the guy's name is, you know, what Marcus Spears, and then he went down the list. Oh, Dan Orlovsky, and you know, and then he went to Ryan Clark, and he said all these guys know exactly what it's like. You know, Ryan's won a Super Bowl, and then Ryan goes, you know, or like the other guy, one of them sat there and said, oh, Ryan was undrafted, he never got drafted, and then he's like, and Desmond Howard's like, what? And he's like, yeah, he was undrafted. He was just a free agent. He made the NFL as a free agent and won a Super Bowl with the Steelers. Never got drafted. So he's like, yeah, I remember getting drafted and Ryan Clark getting drafted. He was like going down the list of all the players. And he didn't even know what he was effing talking about. Because they're so full of shack. It's just spewing out of their face. And you know what's funny? No one likes hearing it from me. I know that. I know they don't like it, the suits and all the rest. This guy's like making fun of this. Like, it's because it's so funny. It's just so absolutely backward-assed. You've never heard of any of them. If you've heard of 5% of them, it's a miracle. And tomorrow on Saturday, 4 through 7, literally, I guarantee you, you've heard of like maybe one player. You'll get down to knowing one player out of the whole day, and they'll be 4, 5, 6, and 7. 4 rounds, you'll have heard of one player per round.
It's not
most.
A lie if you believe it.
But and then all these stupid fans are cheering for guys they've never heard of. Who does that? You know, I don't. You know what? I'll tell you what. I know for a fact that you and I, Carver, I've known you forever. You and I both, if we were at this thing and they drafted the guy I said before, the poor guy, I keep using his name, the guy from Louisiana Tech. If we would have been there at that draft, sitting there, you'd have a Bud Light, I'd be sitting over there smoking a fatty, and then they'd announce the guy's name and everybody'd be cheering, and you and I'd look at each other and go, who? Who did they draft?
Who?
Who is that? Who is this guy? I just, you know what I mean? Like,
he's,
then
he's
I heard
got
my
great,
son.
He's got a great motor. He's got a great motor.
He's a great recruiter.
He's a great recruiter.
The guy, my son came down and complained about, like, last night he was running up and down the stairs when they got Najee Harris, the Steelers. He was so excited. Tonight he came in, he was with his girlfriend or whatever, came walking in the door, and he goes, I guess they got the tight end of the future, but they really missed on blah, 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 blah. And I went, who? I go, what? They missed on who? I go, who's that? I go, listen, I do not sit and study every kid that plays football in America, okay? And then here's another thing. Do you know anyone, seriously, Carver High, do you know anyone that watches more college football than me? I mean, honestly, who watches more college football than me? Over the last 50 years, who's watched and who's been to more college football games than me? Like, no one. How's that sound? I watch every game all day from noon until 1 in the morning every Saturday of my life. Every weeknight it's on. We watch crappy Mac games together, you and I. What games do we miss? But I don't sit there and memorize every single player, every offensive lineman, every linebacker, every corner, every safety, every tackle, every guard, every center, I mean, every receiver, every tight end, every running back, every fullback, every quarterback. Do you think I have time for that? Do you think I have the patience for that? Now, that job's for Dracula, your boy Dracula. That's his job. That's it. You know, McShay and Dracula, that's what they do for a living. The guy you mentioned before from NFL Network, I've never heard of. You know, Damian Woody, whatever you said his name was. I know Damian. I'm friends with Damian. I just used his name as an example. He said, what was the guy's name? He said his name was Daniel Jeremiah. Great. What an institution. I mean, it is. He knows everything about everybody. He's a genius. You know what he's got? That guy's got a plethora of knowledge and a high ceiling. He got a high ceiling for excellence because he knows everything. Listen, I've always said, call me on Monday and I'll tell you what I thought of the Steelers' 7 picks. All right, crazy end of this game in overtime in Boston as the Celtics beat the Spurs 143-140 in overtime. Crazy game, crazy, wild, high-scoring overtime game as the Celtics win it by 3. Too bad I had the Celtics winning and the Spurs plus 4.5, double cover. So there you go on that front. And now we're going to watch LeBron James come back tonight after missing a month and a half. How long was he out? 2 months? I mean, he missed a ton of games. How long do you think he was out? A month?
I saw it today. It was about just short of a month and a half. It was 6 weeks. It was mid-March when he went out.
All right, so 6 weeks he was out. He's coming back tonight. No restrictions on LeBron James, no restrictions. So at the very least, let's take a look at where they're at here in the third round. In the third round, the Raiders just took back-to-back picks, 79 and 80. They took Malcolm Kuntz, a defensive end from Buffalo, and Divine Diablo, a safety from Virginia Tech, back-to-back.
Who?
Yeah, these guys have a massive upside. Just an incredible amount of talent, speed, good footwork, high ceiling, great recruiters, both of them. Huge. I mean, you're talking gold jacket, like Adam Kaplan said today.
Gold jacket player.
He's a gold jacket player. I mean, and then don't forget Milton Williams at 73 to the Eagles from Louisiana Tech. He's, I mean, his backward speed is through the roof. It is just his ability to run backwards against the grain is something scintillating. Everyone's talking about it. Here's another one. Carolina at 70 in a trade. They got Brady Christensen from BYU. He used to go to church with the guy Wilson that went to the Jets. They were church buddies. They went together on all of the Sunday masses or whatever they do in Provo. Very impressive stuff. And then By the way, the quarterback, Davis Mills, who barely played, I think, 11 games his entire career at Stanford, he got – isn't that unbelievable? What an amazing talent that you could play 11 games your entire career in college and still be drafted in the NFL. Because his career is already being defined of brilliance. I mean, his vision, he's a two or three eye guy. He can see three different places on the field at once. He's like Wayne Gretzky. He's got great vision. He's an incredible recruiter. He's great in interviews. He did incredible on the Wunderlich. His combine jumping, he jumped 44 inches. It's unbelievable. And for a white guy, he can windmill dunk. And played 11 games. He went to the Houston Texans, where he'll be named the starting quarterback after Deshaun Watson goes to federal prison for rape. I mean, honestly, Carver, you can't make this stuff up. How did, like, and I heard them talking about this guy today when they said, who are the best quarterbacks available? And I mean, Dracula went on and on about Davis Mills. I mean, to tell you, he spent 10 minutes talking about Davis Mills and his 11 games of tutelage that we got to study. His great, his, you know, he's, it's a, I mean, a Rolodex of games. I mean, all 11 games, you could see it all. That's all it took to see his touch, his vision, his ability to throw across his body across the field while on the run to the weak side. He's a genius. Genius. Kellen Mond went 66. The top pick of the third round went to the Vikings. He's going to go to the, I mean, he's a Gold Jacket player for sure. I mean, he did so much at Texas A&M, you know, with all the losing and everything. He just so accustomed to losing. He'll fit right in Minnesota because they never win anything anyway, do they? Like Super Bowls or anything like that. Right. I mean, let's just get real here. Let's just tell it like it is. You know, let's make it real official here. The Vikings never win the Super Bowl, do they? Carver High, do they?
No.
No.
Now, I can't help it that I'm custom made. I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long. I can't help it that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
Okay, so he was the second player taken in the third round. Kellen Mond, the first player was Andre Sisco, a 6'1", 260-pound safety from Syracuse.
He's got great wingspan.
Interchangeable safety with a blend of size, length, range, a ball hawk, natural hands. He's appeared to make strides as a tackler, but it's still a concern. He's made some strides. The Jaguars... selected Andre Sisco with the top pick of the third round. And they needed a playmaker in the secondary. Sisco was one of the best in the country. He had 12 picks in 2018-19. All of the safeties from 28 through 2020 combined for 10 interceptions. Sisco finished his career with 13 interceptions in 24 games. So in other words, 2 years ago he had 12. This year he had one. So he just, you know what? He had girlfriend problems, everything. You know, the year prior, he had 12 picks. But I got to tell you, last year, he had so much on his mind with COVID and everything. He didn't have time to have any interceptions. So he got drafted anyway. He missed 11 games last season after suffering a torn ACL when he collided with a teammate during pregame warmups. He should have been watching where he was going. Carver, I think I'm going way below the belt now with some of these jokes. It's just unnecessary. It's just really unnecessary. It's not fair to these kids. This is their moment to shine. All right, so the top pick of the second round went to the Jaguars. The Jaguars get every pick, I just wanted to say. Tyson Campbell, the corner out of Georgia that you've never heard of. He's been incredible. Taller, leaner, good length, outstanding speed, excellent burst, breaking on underneath routes, and he limits yards after the catch. He is not a ball hawk and has change of direction quickness. He's very
We do have some negative comments on some of these guys, right? Like, it's not all just
only one negative comment per player.
Good. Like, you know, I just want at the end of the report, can we just put, you know, the guy can't catch a cold. You know, wide receiver, he's a great route runner, but he can't catch a cold. You know, just I mean, honestly, like, can we just put some stuff in there to actually show that these guys are human? Because when you read some of these reports, they're not human. I mean, all these kids, you know, they're the best of the best. That's why they're being drafted, I guess.
So what they told the guy to do was, and they have his name here. I'm not going to say his name. The guy that analyzes every player. So he gives them 9 out of 10, you know, positive comments. The 10th comment is always their problem. Weak change of direction quickness. Meanwhile, the guy could rob a bank. He'd be the best guy robbing the bank in town with his speed. I mean, the guy, he's just unbelievable. He's so fast. If I was going to rob a bank, I'd have him do it with me. And then he grabs the bag with all the money in it. I handle shooting people. He handles running with the cash. I'll meet you later by the airport. And then the Jets got Elijah Moore, the wide receiver out of Ole Miss, undersized slot who excels at attacking the middle of the field against zone looks. He has the burst to separate in man coverage. He's a natural hands catcher who plucks the ball out of the air. His ability to make defenders miss, plus his top-end speed, makes him a threat after the catch. A brilliant career foreshadowing him early here. The third pick was Javonte Williams, a running back from North Carolina that used to be a linebacker, and he runs over people. He went to the Broncos. Number four was Javon Holland, a safety from Oregon, and he's well-built, instinctive safety at his best, lining up over the slot where he has the balance. Upper body strength and speed to compete with receivers and tight ends. Thank God he's got incredible balance. You know, as a kid, he used to tightrope over the Grand Canyon with the Valendez family. It's where he got his balance. The kid he's a playmaker, excellent ball skills. He averaged 15 yards per punt return in 2019, and he's a sound tackler with the potential to develop into an excellent special teams player. He's going to be just huge. It's going to be huge for the Dolphins. Absolutely huge. Number five was Landon Dickerson to the Eagles, the center from Alabama. The problem with Landon is he blew out his knee in the national championship game, so he won't be playing for a year. You know, they just mentioned that last. They talk about he's the greatest player ever. He's an exceptional leader. And he just runs over people, drives defensive linemen into the ground and stands on their face. But then, you know, just one little tidbit. He blew his knee out in December. He's had two massive injuries in his career already. Yeah, no thanks. All right, Pharrell on the Bench with Carver High. So tomorrow night, you've got a nice offering in boxing with the Fox PBC pay-per-view of the Mexican extravaganza with the heavyweights going at it. Andy Ruiz Jr., you remember him. He knocked out Anthony Joshua for the World Heavyweight Championship in June of 2019, only to lose to him in the rematch. But when he beat him, he must have weighed 300 pounds. And then now he's been training with Canelo's team in San Diego. He's lost 30 pounds. He looks fantastic compared to how much of a fat ass he looked when he beat him. When he beat Joshua, he looked – I mean, people were like, what is this? What is happening here with this guy? Look how enormous he is. Then he knocked him out, and everybody was like, holy shack, that was incredible. Because Ruiz can flat out fight. He is a good fighter, good boxer. He's got heavy hands. He means business. He's no joke. But he's so much more dangerous the way he looks now, in great shape as he gets ready for Chris Areola, the 40-year-old journeyman who's basically as I said today on Coast to Coast, 1 foot out the door, 1 foot in. I don't know whether he's finished or whether he's going to keep fighting. He's fought everybody 10 times. He fought Wilder. He fought Klitschko, Vitaly Klitschko. He's fought everybody. Now he's trying one last crack at it, taking on Ruiz. These two Mexican legends from, you know, obviously Los Angeles and the Inland Empire going at it. 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on pay-per-view, $49.99. Go to foxsports.com/pay-per-view to order or call your cable operator. Great undercard with 3 killer fights, all Mexican fighters. Plus, at 7 Eastern, Arislandi Lara, the Cuban super welterweight champ, taking on a fighter at 7. The pay-per-view of the big fight card starts at 9. All of it, PBC on Fox pay-per-view. Check it out tomorrow night, Ruiz and Areola. I know Carver High's excited about it. So anyway, I was talking about this kid, Landon Dickerson. Now, I don't deny that he, the center from Alabama, I will not deny he's a monster. 6'6", 330 plus, and he's had multiple ACL tears. He's coming off an ACL tear in the SEC championship in December. He has another ACL tear and an ankle injury. And Carver High, I have to ask you, I mean, there's no denying a guy can flat out play. But it's the same thing for me as always. I'm not interested in this guy from Virginia Tech with the 2 back surgeries. He went in the first round anyway. Everybody's all gung-ho about him. What's his name? Farley. All I know is I'm not drafting a guy that's had 2 blown out knees and a blown out ankle. I don't care who he is, because when he's 22 years old and he's already had that, what do you think he's going to get in the NFL with, you know, when he's at Alabama and he's 330, 6'6", 330, he's pushing people around. I've seen him play. He pushes people around, steps on their face. But when he goes to the NFL, everyone else is his size, and they're not going to put up with it. So, you know, in college, when you're playing at Alabama and you're better than everybody, that big tough game with Mercer every year and that, you know, that game with New Mexico State, it's going to be, you know, the guy he's up against is, you know, 6'1", 290, and he's 6'6", 333. No wonder he's pushing him around. But when he goes to the NFL, they're going to push back, and the other guy's going to be 6'6", 325 himself, and I'm going to take the guy that doesn't have 2 blown-out knees and a blown-out ankle. I got a problem drafting guys that have already had reconstructed knees that already weigh 330 pounds. What's he going to get, thinner? In the NFL, no, he's going to get fatter in the NFL because he's going to eat like he's at the table, like he's going to the electric chair. Because I've seen it. I've covered the league. I've traveled with teams. I've been on the Steelers, traveling every game, covered them for a living. I know how big these guys are. They literally can eat an airplane, the whole airplane they can eat. No one that goes to Alabama at 6'6", 330 is going to the NFL going to start losing weight, okay? This guy's 6'6", 330. He's going to be 360 in about 2 years. Tell me how you're drafting a guy with 2 blown-out knees and a blown-out ankle. I mean, just explain it to me, because I must be stupid or something. But I don't draft guys. The guy from Virginia Tech, 2 back surgeries. He's 22 effing years old. He's already had his back operated on twice, and he's had a blown-out knee. Now, how many times do I have to say it? I'm not drafting some kid that's 22 going to play in the NFL pain day, and he's already been a cripple.
No, I'm with you. And the thing about these early rounds of the NFL draft is you want to try the best you can. And not every player works out. We know that. We know the success rate is not high, as much as they tell you how great every kid is. You want to be able to at least get yourself some players that are going to be in the mix to play some significant time in their rookie year, whether it's starting, whether even if it's a rotational player. To draft guys in the first 2 rounds who might not play, in the first 2 rounds that might not play next year. You know, look, it depends on how much you're willing to sacrifice the value. You know, the kid's a good player. Maybe you're getting a little value on him because he would have went higher if he was healthy, and you're willing to, you know, burn a year of not having him. It's one thing. I wouldn't do it too early in the draft, but I get the concept. I don't know. I'm with you. I need guys that are going to play now. I'm wasting high picks. I need guys who are going to play.
Or fair enough. And I'm just being straight up here. I'm talking about every pick that matters. I'm trying my best to follow this nonsense where I'm not having it. Like, I'm not drafting a guy that I know full on. I'm the GM, right? I'm the GM, and I work for the owner, and I'm basically working with the head coach and the coaching staff to bring them players to make the team better, right? And I'm not drafting on my watch. This is just me. If I'm running a team and I don't know anything, please don't act like you think I know something more than NFL GMs or that I could do this job. I'm not cut out for it. It's not my bag, right? But the reality is this. I know one thing. I'm not drafting some kid that's already crippled. Okay? I'm just not that dumb. I don't. You're dumb if you draft players that have had multiple back surgeries, multiple blown out knees. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I will draft a kid over a guy no matter what. If the kid has a clean sheet medically, now it's one thing to roll your ankle. It's one thing to sprain your knee. It's one thing to, you know, break your wrist or something. It's one thing to, you know, pull a hammy or tear your quad or calf or, you know, have something like that or, you know, you tore a rib cage muscle or a pec or whatever. That's one thing. Fair enough. It's another thing entirely, if you ask me. I mean, did I not talk to Dr. Chow about this today? Did I not ask him who in their right mind drafts a kid with two major back surgeries already? I mean, he said it to me. He said, it's simple. Anyone that has one gets another and they get a third. It's right around the corner doing push-ups. He'll have another back surgery. He'll have a back problem in the NFL as sure as I'm sitting here. I have a longer shelf life than the guy Farley. I still got, you know, I think I still got some years left doing this. I could be wrong. I could die tomorrow. Fair enough. But I'm telling you, I'm not drafting some kid that's been cut twice on his back. Second, I'm not drafting some guy that's 6'6", 330 that's had two blown out knees already. You know why? Because guys that are 6'6", 330 is unnatural to begin with. Is it not, Carver High? Is that not unnatural? I mean, it is. If you're 330, you're fat. You're big. You're huge. You're ripped. You're strong. You're muscular. I get it. But you're also fat, okay? When you're 330 pounds, you got a gut on you like Santa Claus. That's all there is to it. There's no getting around it. Every NFL lineman I know is gigantic, and they have a gigantic belly filled with food every day. And it's like a sewer system, their stomach, because they eat so much. They eat like 5-6 meals a day, these guys, thousands of calories. They're like monsters. Am I wrong? No. And then you're telling me that all that weight on those two blown out knees, that he's just going to run around and not blow it out again? I don't believe that for one effing minute. Not 1 minute. I'm going to draft a kid that's got a clean sheet that never blew out his knees, never blew out his ankle, over a guy that's had, I don't care how good he is. I don't care how good he is. I'm drafting the kid that has no injuries. That's it. I'm not drafting some running back with blown out knees either. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. The Giants picked up Barkley's fifth-year option. Boy, they better hope they're right about that, because I never think a guy that has a totally reconstructed blown-out knee is ever the same. People say, Dr. Chow says it too. Oh, trust me, they do knee surgeries now. They're better than ever. I don't believe that either. You know what I mean? I just don't believe that either. Do you believe that? Are you going to sit here and tell me you believe that Joe Burrow's never going to have arthritis in that knee with that blown-out knee he had, that he's not going to have issues with that the rest of his career? Ask Joe Namath how that went. Honestly, Carver, you tell me. You buy in anyone that has blown-out knees that they're ever going to not have problems again?
Look, if you look at in the past, guys that have it done, eventually at some point again, it becomes a problem for them. There's no question about it. And yeah, I'm with you on Burrow. Eventually, Burrow's still very young, but he's had the knee torn up, and he's going to play with it, and eventually it's going to bother him in some aspect again.
I think so. By the way, the Niners drafted Trey Sermon, the running back out of Ohio State. I've heard of him. I like Asante Samuel Jr. I don't think he's as good as his dad. We'll see if he turns into that. Like, his dad, I thought, was a great pro. You know, his dad played in the league for the Pats, Eagles, Falcons. But I think that, you know, the kid, I think above average at Florida State. But you have to understand, when he was at Florida State the entire time he was there, they sucked. He never did anything on those teams. You know that as well as I do. Here's his last season, 14 pass breakups with one interception. That's just nothing to me. You know what I mean? 14 passes broken up in one pick, and you're this, 5'10", 180-pound second-round draft pick. I mean, honestly, is it just me, or I'm not even trying to be a jerk right now. I mean, can I draft somebody that's had at least five or six picks? Can I get some guy that's – is there no one out there that's a corner that has more interceptions than that? I need some guy that picks off passes and goes hizzy, not some guy that breaks up passes, 14 of them. What is 14 passes broken up his last season is 14 passes in one pick. Tell me that doesn't suck, Carver. I just tell me the truth. Does that suck? Like, can you imagine the Bills drafting a guy that had 14 breakups in one pick in the second round? That's who you're going to take over some guy that's got six or eight picks? That I don't care where he plays. If the guy plays at Hamtramck Tech and he has eight picks, I'm drafting him over some guy that has one pick. I don't care who his daddy is. I mean, I'm serious right now.
No, I'm with you. I really am. It's
you can't even argue this stuff.
No, I can't.
I'm not even trying to be a smartass right here. I'm just sitting here looking at these picks going, okay. But did you like the kid? Did you like Aaron Banks at Notre Dame? The big guard? He went to the Niners. Now, yeah, there's a guy, 6'5", 3 1/4. No injury history. I love that pick. Give me that guy over the guy with all the blown out knees and ankles. I'm serious. Don't get me started here, Carver. And LeBron is playing. So the Buccaneers in the last pick of the second round got Kyle Trask, the quarterback at Florida, 6'5", 230. They love his size. It says here he doesn't have a great arm, doesn't have a good arm. Meanwhile, he was in New York for the Heisman, one of the finalists. But he's terrible too, right? Apparently, according to these reports. What do you think? Do you think I think it'll pay off for him being around Tom Brady for a year or two? What that'll do for that kid will be amazing.
I think that learning behind Tom for a couple years, knowing that system, he's a Florida kid. That's a good spot for him. He needs to go to a spot like that where he learns for a little while. He can't jump right into fire.
Yeah, I think they're going to like that pick. I'm not saying he's great or anything. I'm not going to freak out or whatever, but I think if I'm him, I'm feeling real lucky that I ended up there. I really am. So I see Green Bay got a center in the second round, Josh Myers from Ohio State. He's another one, 6'5", 310, third rated center in the whole draft. And, They keep piling it up. You got the corner, get a center, but they got bigger fish to fry in Wisconsin with the Packers in Green Bay. The problems that Gutekunst has is unimaginable. I mean, that guy, I don't even believe that guy will sleep this weekend. Not because of the draft at all. He can't sleep because of how badly he screwed up the Aaron Rodgers thing. I mean, you got to blame somebody, don't you? Who do you blame? I know you don't blame Aaron Rodgers. You got to blame the front office. So I blame Gutekunst. So he shouldn't be allowed to sleep.